What's up, everyone? You're on What You Don't Know, You Speaks Out, a show by, for, and about young people. It airs on the last Sunday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. and is hosted by students in Mendocino County. We want to create a place where young people can talk truthfully about the important issues in our lives and have a dialogue with the community of listeners. Tonight's hosts are myself, Jama Shields, and...
Arayla Simerson.
And Rose Talbert.
Arayla and I are graduating from Laytonville High School this year, and Rose, who graduated last year, has been attending Kenyon College in Ohio.
Woohoo!
Tonight, our topic is Revisioning High School, Part 2. We're here to discuss our high school experiences, what was inspiring, what could be changed in the structure of high school, and what insights we wish we discovered as freshmen or ninth graders. If you go to Laytonville High School, you know what that means. We'll discuss our thoughts for a while, and then we'll open the phone lines for you to join in with your questions, insights, and experiences. So let's begin, Rose. Was high school a good or bad experience for you?
I'd have to say that high school was a good experience for me. I mean, like, I went to Laytonville High School, and it was just really laid back and low key, and, you know, it was the kind of high school where you could wear your pajamas to school, and nobody really cared. And it was just, like, that sort of environment was really good for me, and, like, most people were understanding, and I was respected by, like, the intelligent people in the community. So it was just, it was a really good environment for me. So I really think that I had a good high school experience.
Arayla?
Well, I think high school is a learning experience, and you always learn about good and bad things, so I couldn't really pick whether it was a good or bad, but I think there was a lot of good opportunities in high school. Like, there were some good teachers, Mr. Brady, Paula Mulligan, Ms. Dexter, and just a lot of people that were really involved in the students' lives and what's going on. So I think that the educational part was a really good experience, but a lot of the social part was a little different.
Yeah, I agree with Rose and also you. My high school career was really interesting. I think it's been one of the best 4 years of my life, you know, so far. It's been a really good time. I've had fun with you guys, and our teachers, they're really great. You know, we've got some really good teachers. We're really fortunate at Laytonville High School to have the people we do, because we can be so real with our teachers. And mm-hmm. that's something that a lot of people, I don't think in the city or more rural, you know, people who go to larger high schools can't experience like we do.
Yeah, I think one of the best things about going to a small, like, rural school is seeing our teachers outside of class and having them still acknowledge us as people and have them just be real with us. And if we're honest with them, then they can be honest with us. And it's just, it's having such a small school and small classes and knowing your teachers all 4 years. For me, at least, like, talking to people who have gone to much larger schools, it's an experience that most people don't have, and we're really lucky to have that because it helps us learn in a totally different way, which is in a good way.
What about things you guys wish you would have been told or learned when you were a freshman?
I think I would have been told the biggest problem I had growing up through high school is not knowing what I wanted to be. You know, there's not really many options in Laytonville to be shown what there is. And so I think I wish as a freshman I would have had some kind of class, like an orientation to the world, like options there are in the world and different kinds of jobs and occupations available.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you. I remember, like, as a freshman, I wanted to be a vet, and, like, that has changed so much over the years because you experience so many different things in high school, and you're like, for me, like, I changed my major occupation, like, once a day. I'm still like, well, people ask me, what are you going to do? Well, I think I'm going to do this or maybe this, and there's so many things that I want to do that I want to be able to do one day, but it's so hard narrowing it down to that one thing. Yeah, Rose.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I think as a freshman, it would have been really nice to have a class or, like, some sort of seminar or something that just taught everybody how to, like, study better, study well, and take what they needed from class, because there's so much that people, like, so much information being thrown out during classes, it's hard to pick through and find out, like, what the teacher thinks is important and what you, like, really should know for life. And so just being able to, like, to learn how to pick out those things and how to take good notes and how to study, just things like that, which would have really been helpful during high school.
I wish I would have learned maybe my sophomore year and how to choose a college that was right for me and how to research that college and how to fill out college applications, like getting ready for SATs. I wish I would have prepped for SATs way more because, like, my junior year was, like, the last month I could take them before my senior year, and I was like, okay, I'm not prepared for this, you know, and I wish, like, we could have had a class on how to, like, how to take the SATs, because there's so many different ways you can take them, and, like, all these tests that are going to be useful to you one day when you're applying for college, because that's, you know, what a lot of colleges look for is your scores.
Another thing,
testing. Go ahead.
Another thing that I wish I would have known when I was a freshman is how to schedule my life and my time, because I felt that throughout my years I never really figured out how to organize every activity I wanted to do. I felt like I was overrun and overpacked. And so when I became a senior, I realized that there's little tricks and stuff you could use to make yourself organize your time better. And that would have saved a lot of stress.
Yeah, no kidding. I know, like, this year it's like you need to know how to fill out college applications, and you need to know all this information, like Rose was talking about earlier, and like how to file for taxes or become a registered voter. There's so many things you need to know when you become 18, and that, like, I just feel like no one's helping me, and I'm like, you know, in high school there should be a class for this.
Yeah, it seems like there should be, like, every year there's stuff that it would be nice to know that doesn't fit into any one particular class. Like, maybe if there was, like, a zero period or something, or, like, your freshman year, it's, like, 15 minutes a day, you, like, pick up study skills and stuff, and your sophomore year, it's, like, figuring out what you want to do with your life, and your junior year, it's, like, how to fill out college applications and financial aid forms and researching loans and stuff, and, like, senior year, have it be, like, life skills, like, how to iron your laundry and fill out taxes and, like, get a job and stuff, because this is stuff that, like, you're going to need to know regardless of what you do with your life. And so, like, it just seems that if high school is sort of preparing us for this real world experience, maybe it should prepare us about some real world stuff.
Yeah. What do you think classes, Rose, for you, since you're off to college, what classes that Laneyville High School had best prepared you?
I think the advanced placement English class really helped me, because in college I was writing essays that were a lot harder than the essays I wrote in high school, but the amount of essays that I had to write for the English class really prepared me for the amount of work. And then just, like, the level of grading too in the AP English class was really high, and that I felt really prepared for my college English classes because of that class. And I felt confident going into the college English classes that I knew what I was doing and I knew how to write the essays. And I did. So that class, the AP English class at Laneyville High School, really helped me and made me feel confident and comfortable in my college English classes. So that was definitely the best class that I think prepared me for college.
I agree with you, because I know AP has helped me so much. Like, if people don't realize that our AP class, it's like you go there and you kind of don't know what to expect, because you've just had a year of freshman English and it's kind of off the wall stuff that you don't really use. And so you'd walk in there and you're given this big reading assignment and you have a seminar to prepare for, and you have to write a weekend paper or whatever. And the thing that you get graded down on is if you misspell a word. And that's, like, the major thing that counts there. And I think that has prepared me so much, because, like, on my SATs, that's what I scored highest on, was English, because I feel like I was prepared for it, because I knew how to do an essay in this amount of time and knew what to look for in misspellings. Like, that really catches.
Yeah, and the seminars as well. Like, a couple of my other classes at Laneyville High School had seminars. And in college, you find yourself in a lot of classes that I'm taking, it's the students sitting around and talking about what we've read and discussing it. And we get graded partially on what we say in class and how we interpret the information and how we can build on other people's ideas. So learning these skills in high school, like Laneyville in the AP English class, gives students the opportunity to learn that skill, and that's an important skill for college and for just talking to other people. Mm-hmm. So,
Arayla, want through your two cents?
I agree with everything you said. There's not much else to say.
How about we open up the phone lines? We're three Laneyville people here, and we're discussing revisioning high school, what it's meant to us, our experiences, what worked in high school, what didn't work, etc., etc. Your calls, totally, we value them. If you're in the Philo area, please give us a call at 895-2448. And if you like 1-800 numbers, we have 1-800-499-7117. And again, my name is Jama Shields, and I'm with
Rose Talbert
and Arayla Simerson.
And we're discussing revisioning high school.
Yeah. I don't know. I really think, like, if it would be possible to get, like, just 15 minutes a day of just, like, basic life skills every year, because that's not, like, you maybe go for 15 minutes later, start 15 minutes earlier, but just put this class, like, in the middle of the day would work best, because then people would be less likely to ditch it. Mm-hmm. But just have this class where, yeah, you get some credit for it, and yeah, you're graded on it, but it teaches you things, like, whether you're going to go, you know, work at the local grocery store, you're going to go off to some school on the East Coast, you need to know how to file taxes. Like, that's important, you know?
You need to know how to do your laundry, you know, because mom and dad aren't going to live with you all the time.
I know, but there's people at my school who, they box up their laundry and mail it home, and their parents wash it. And that's just, like, they were never taught how to do their own laundry, and that's kind of, like, sad. That's something that you need to know, because at some point you're going to be living on your own in a house with a washer and dryer, and you got to know how they work. So, you know, somebody's going to teach you, and, like, some people, their parents teach them, but, you know, not everybody.
Well, we have a caller.
Oh.
Caller, you won the lucky prize. You're caller number one. Good evening.
Yeah, good evening. I'm a retired teacher, so I'm really interested in your comments and what's happening in the high school. I'm wondering if any of your classes related to the things that are going on politically, if in relation to world problems and the WTO and the battle in Seattle, and I wondered if this was used and discussed in aspects of the, you know, what's going on in the world, besides just how to pass tests, which I know is very important. And I wondered if the social studies or history, whatever you call it, has been a vital course, which is where we try to get you to be participating citizens. This is the main idea of the social studies anyhow. And then the other thing I wondered, how come there's not a boy on the program?
Well, we were just asked to do the show, and we're actually starting to get more people involved with the radio show happening next Wednesday, and we are going to get some more boys involved in the show, but currently there aren't too many, and we were just selected from the Laytonville area to participate tonight.
Yeah, well, I'm thinking of Casey. Isn't he president of your class?
Casey actually... He's
been great. Maybe
yeah, I think he's on his way to Mexico right now. That's the senior class field trip that Arayla and I aren't attending, so that's why we're here.
Yeah.
But other than that, no.
Well, anyway, I'm really interested in your answering you know, the questions about social studies. Boring, or if it's not interesting, what could teachers do to make it more interesting?
Okay.
I'll take your answer off the air.
Thanks for your call. About the WTO and, like, the whole Seattle riots, I remember AP English, Mr. Brady, pulled some stuff off the internet, and it was kind of some controversial stuff that someone had posted on a website, and we had a seminar about it. We were given, like, about half an hour to read the material, form some ideas on it, and he had a couple of questions about it, and we seminared about this and, you know, our thoughts and related to the topic, and then we wrote a paper on it. And I think a lot of the teachers, they try to incorporate, and I think it's best when they're incorporating things that are happening on the world, because otherwise how else are we going to learn from them and discuss them with our peers? Because otherwise you don't really, you know, from otherwise seeing on the news and reading it in the newspaper, a lot of kids don't, you know, do that. And so I think it's one way to bring it into the school and, like, you know, have a seminar or write a paper on it, and it helps you kind of get involved that little bit. And I remember sophomore, you're talking about history. My sophomore history teacher, we would have a class that was every other day. So every other day we would have to bring in like a newspaper or something new that was going on in the world, and we'd talk about it amongst our peers.
Yeah, when I was still in high school, I had Gordon Oslin, who's now the vice principal for Willits High School. He was my social studies teacher, and he'd start out every week just asking people what they did for the weekend and like what was going on in their lives, and he'd sort of send it in different areas. People were talking about specific things, and all of a sudden he'd bring up, oh, this is the same sort of thing that happened, you know, 200 years ago, and so-and-so was dealing with so-and-so, and all of a sudden we'd be learning. And it was just so, because he'd go from what we did over the weekend into relating it to what was going on in the world, like, 200, 300 years ago. And so, like, in that way, social studies was made interesting. And I know that didn't always happen in class, but, like, Oslin was an excellent teacher in the way that he shaped the way we were thinking and the way we were talking into letting us relate our lives to what was going on then, which is hard for some people.
Yeah.
So, but I don't know. I still find social studies kind of boring.
Mm-hmm. In my U.S. history class, our teacher, she has us, anything that's going on when the WTO thing was happening, she really had us get into it. We stopped everything we were doing and talked about that because she thought that current issues were just as important as past history, because it was U.S. history and that's what we were learning about. So she really filled us in on what's going on. And also, we also talked about the boy from Cuba and also stuff like that. So it helped me to learn about political issues.
Yeah. definitely helps you.
Yeah, you said something about having a class once a week, or like, no, every other day.
Yeah, that was with Oz.
Yeah. We were talking about. So what did you think about the classes like that, like the block scheduling?
Yeah, I personally, I'm a big fan of block scheduling if it has to do with my art class or my independent study of photography. It doesn't work, and the counselor tries to avoid making math a block period because you just cannot hold math for an hour and a half up to 2 hours, which is usually what the block schedule is like. I think it's really useful for classes where you're going to need a lot of time, but for others, it's going to bring some people down. They're going to start to dwindle halfway through the period, and you see that in a lot of the classes. Like, you'll walk into, like, a science class or something, and the people are just kind of, like, zoning off because it's, they cannot handle any more information after they've been lectured, you know, for about an hour. And I think it works for definitely, like, art and not math, but classes where you're going to need some time to complete a project and make it a good project, like my AP English class. Like, it's awesome to have it up as a block period because you can seminar. You can have, like, a seminar for, like, about an hour, and it can last, like, the whole period, as otherwise it'd be cut off in, like, 40 minutes. So I really like the block scheduling, actually.
I think one block period a day would be good, and have that be, like, for instance, AP English or art, but I think that's pretty much it. I have a really hard time sitting in class for that amount and just listening or watching, or it's just too much. My attention span can't handle it, and I personally think that I have a long tolerance for things.
Yeah. Do you guys feel like about physical comfort in classrooms? Like, what's that like for you? I know I have to be comfortable in a class, or there's no way I'm going to sit there for an hour and a half because you have to get up. Like, I make excuses. Everyone makes excuses. I'm thirsty. Got to go to the soda machine because they need to get up and, like, out of class for a couple minutes, get some fresh air. And I know at Laytonville we have, like, big windows and we can look out and see the sunshine, or if it's raining, you know, we kind of have different views, and I'm wondering what you guys think about that.
I don't know. It's, like, it's important to be comfortable, but it's also, like, when you go to college, you're not always going to end up in a class that has, like, comfortable chairs. And most college classes are, like, at least an hour and a half long. Like, that's just the way it happens in college. So I guess, like, for me, block scheduling really helped me prepare for college. But, like, college classes, most of the classrooms I end up in aren't really that comfortable
at
all.
They weren't designed for comfort.
No, but the college professors are really good at, like, taking breaks in the middle of, like, a two-hour class.
Yeah, that's always good.
Because they know, especially my psych professor, because she you know, she knew that the attention spans, like, needed that break. So... But I think that the block schedules are kind of, like, they're, you know, a way to integrate people into getting used to the high school or to the college, like the movement from high school to college, because college classes will last that long. Mm-hmm. And so people need to get used to that so they don't freak out even more when they go to college.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to open up the phone lines again, 895-2448, and toll free 1-800-499-7117. We're discussing revisioning high school, what our high school experiences have been like, what has worked for us, what hasn't. If you have any questions or comments, please feel free to call in.
Yeah. Back on, like, in my psychology class, I learned different study skills, like what, like, they've done tests to prove that it's better to study in an environment that's as similar as possible to the environment that you'll be taking a test in, because you'll remember more. And just, like, ways to study, like, you want to study, you know, if you're going to study in a big block, then you want to study one subject at a time. You don't want to, like, mix it up, like, study this for 15 minutes, then this for 15 minutes, because you'll remember less if you do it like mm-hmm. that. And these sort of things, like, I learned when I got into college and started and had to take a psychology class. Whereas, like, they would have come in really handy when I was in high school. Like, these are the kind of things I'd like to know as a freshman. But there's, like, there's so many. I guess if I'd gone over, like, I had trouble in psychology, so I don't remember all of them. If I'd used some of them, I might have remembered them more. But, yeah, those are some that I remember. And, like, these are things that we should be taught sooner than a college psychology class, because they're important.
Yeah, I think that. Also, as a freshman, Jamie and I are both involved in peer counseling, and I know Rose was before she graduated. And we learned how to speak with other people, how to not argue, how to address issues with more clear statements. And it just taught us a whole bunch of good ideas and good ways in life to live in high school.
Yeah.
And I think that freshmen should be required to take some kind of peer counseling class, not necessarily be involved in the group, but just take the class to be taught some
to learn those skills that, yeah, I was just going to mention that actually, that like through peer counseling, like we will go to like a 3-day training or like a seminar, so we learn all this stuff. And like the way they set it up is like we get there, we introduce ourselves, and we play like a game, like to get us like we're motivated, we're getting up, we're moving, and that really helps you focus, I think. And then we sit down and we like work on some stuff. We do like a workshop, and that really helps me because I've learned to come in from like lunch and just sit down and be ready to do my work because of peer counseling, and like that has taught me. And like some other people are just kind of like, it takes them a while to come down off of like eating, and they're like all sugar high and just mm-hmm. like, and like, but I can just automatically do that. And I think that's an important skill that people should learn early on, like a freshman. I definitely agree with you, freshmen should need to take a peer counseling class, and that'd be great if we had one at Laneyville High School, but we don't at this time.
Yeah, and also like some freshmen come in not really knowing how to interact in a positive way with people, like they're mm-hmm. used to getting negative attention, and that's the way they get yeah. attention, or they just like they don't know how to be nice to people or how to deal with people that they don't like in a nice manner. And a peer counseling class would help people like at least just be able to deal with people and improve their social skills, so they're not getting into fights all the time, they're not like arguing with their teacher over some petty little issue because yeah. they don't know how to disagree with someone and not get mad at them. And these are skills that are really important to have, that if we could try to teach them to people when they're freshmen, then we could eliminate a lot of social problems from the high school that make it harder to learn.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I'm not a big fan of required classes, though. I mean, I feel that as a student who has different ideas in life, like say you want to be an artist, for instance, I don't understand why you should have to be required to take science, you know, and that bothers me a lot that people have to do that. I feel like it's a waste of time. If you really enjoy science and you want to learn about that, then great. Then I think you should have that option open to you. But so what
yeah,
do you feel about it?
I agree with you. I went over to Mendocino High School actually for a day, and it was about their yearbook class. But as I was touring, the lady who was showing me around was telling me how certain students, like if they're really focused on art, they have this one student there who is like, that's all she wants to do. And so they have a separate thing for her. It's like a different program. They put her in like a room and she just does her art all day. And that's what she does. And she's allowed to do that because she knows that that's exactly what she wants to do. And people who are ready to focus on what they want to do when they're in college or after high school, they can just go there and do their thing and learn about it and study it and not have to worry about all these required classes that, like, the state makes you take before you graduate.
Well, even in college, though, there are required classes. Yeah. And I know people, like my psychology professor, she wanted to be like a history major or something, but she was forced to take a psychology class for diversification, and she discovered that she totally loved the subject, and she ended up majoring in it. And she wouldn't have gotten into psychology at all unless she had to take the class. Mm-hmm. And it helps spark new interests, and also it makes for more well-rounded people.
Exactly.
Because, like, yeah. we all know people who, they're big into math and science, and that's all they do. And, like, they have to take other classes, but their main focus is math and science. And, like, some of these people, they aren't really interesting, because that's what their hardcore focus is. And if they were more well-rounded, like if they'd worked on their social skills and stuff, they'd be more interesting people. And like it's good to be able to focus on what you want to, but if you get people who aren't well-rounded, then I just think that people should be open, like be exposed to everything before they decide on things. And they should, like, there should be general knowledge that people should know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I don't really need to know exactly how my neurotransmitters yeah. send, like, reactions from my spinal cord to my toe when I stub it. But it's nice to know that, you know, like, the Earth revolves around the sun and, you know, how plants get their nutrients from the sun. Like, there's some basic information that everybody should know.
Exactly.
And
well, I think that if you're focused on one main subject and you know that's what you're good at and that's what you really enjoy and you want to spend all your time doing that, and I don't understand why, for me, it bothers me that a high school student would have to be forced to go into classes because they're not going to enjoy it and they're not going to have a good time and they're going to feel stressed out because they have the homework. It's going to make their grade point average come down. It's going to make them enjoy high school less.
But that's not always the case. Like, some people discover things that they find out they completely love that they never would have considered.
Yeah, not all the time, though. I still think that.
But there are cases like that, and not everybody who's forced to take a class that they don't want to, like, their grade point averages drop and stuff. Like, it's very, I don't know, it's like really specific per person, but if we don't ask people to expand their minds and to take other classes, then everybody's just going to focus on what they want to, and it just separates people even more.
Yeah, you guys are making some great points. I agree with both of you.
And
we have a caller, actually.
Ooh.
Hi, caller, you're on the air.
Hey, hello. Yeah, enjoying the conversation. You know what I see from out here? I'm a dad with a bunch of five kids, actually. Is you're both right. You know, you both have a good, clear idea, and I think the young lady that doesn't think that she should be fed all this other information that she's not interested in, it's totally valid. And the other person that wants people exposed to everything, that's valid too. So I guess the individual should be able to choose which direction he should wants to take, or she, or he or she wants to take. Anyways, yeah. I think you're both right. Anyways, nice hearing your program.
Yeah, thanks for calling.
Thank all you. Right, we've got another caller too.
Cool.
Lord of Mercy, you're on the air.
Hi, I'm a senior at Anderson Valley High School. My name's Jaya Marks. And the thing that's been killing me for the last 4 years is that every time we want to get something changed, like all the really cool ideas you guys have had, there's no way to do it because the administration doesn't want to do it, or the teachers aren't behind us. So I was going to ask you, what's a way that the students could get things done and get, you know, power?
Oh, I'm going to let Rose take this one.
Oh, yeah. Okay. See, I was student body president last year at Laytonville High School, and we had some major problems with the administration that led to a student body walkout that involved, like, all but four students. And, like,
wow.
I think, one, like, if you get a lot of students involved and passionate about something, then if you can prove to the teachers and the administration that this is something that the students are dedicated to and the students want, then they're more likely to listen.
Exactly. Like, students, like, we realized we had the power. I mean, like, it was looking like things weren't going to change, but all of a sudden the students get involved and you have a couple voices and then you have more and more, and then you almost have the entire student body saying, this isn't going to happen. You know what? Like, you're not going to take this from us. And we were heard, you know? And that's what you need to do. You need to get some people involved, like a group, and you guys just need to stand up for what you believe in.
A town can't ignore a whole entire huge group of students saying right. what they want.
Right. That sounds great. So for the kinds of classes you're talking about, let's say you wanted to introduce a new schedule where those classes were available,
mm-hmm.
how would you go about that? Like, if you really wanted that to happen, if say, Anderson Valley really wanted that to happen, and they were saying, no, you can't do that because it doesn't work out with the times, and can't change the schedule.
Well, see, our student body president sits with the school board, and I don't know if that's the way.
That was my job this year, but it's terrible.
Oh yeah, I've had problems with the school board too. But did like when I think, like, the most important part is getting the teachers behind you first.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if we could, like, going to teachers' meetings and making presentations that, like, if this is what we wanted to do, by saying, you know, the students, like, this is something that's necessary and it would fit into the schedule, and if the students came up with a plan first, and then presenting it to the teachers and getting the teachers on their side. It's really hard for a school board to not listen if the teachers and the students are both promoting something.
Mm-hmm.
And also, if you do, like, the legwork and find out how it can work, so they can't say,
exactly,
like, this isn't legal, or this is, like, if you figure out, like, that it does work into the schedule and that you can find the time, if they have less things that they can point at to say that why it doesn't work, then they have less, like, logical reason to turn it down.
Yeah, if you make an idea really well-rounded mm-hmm. and really complete, then it's hard for them to see why they shouldn't do it.
Yeah, well, that sounds great. Thanks for your answer.
Good luck for what you're doing, and thanks for your call. Again, our phone numbers are 895-2448 and 1-800-499-7117. We're discussing revisioning high school. If you have anything to say about what high school was for you, I'd love to hear from other people who are going to high school now and adults who have attended high school back in the day. You know, we want to hear from you guys. We want to know how it's changed, what you think about high school,
mm-hmm.
what could have worked, what didn't work, what did work for you, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, and one more thing, just to go back on to what the student from Anderson Valley was saying. If you demand a public hearing on the issue, then it draws attention from all over the community, and everybody's voice gets to be heard. And then it's harder to ignore people when they're making a statement loudly. Like, it's easy to ignore somebody if they're just sitting in the corner. Like, the old saying goes, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. If you're persistent and you're loud and you're right, then it's hard for them to ignore you. So just, if they can't, you know, if they ignore you, you won't go away. Then if that's the case, then you're more likely to have something happen.
Exactly.
So
good luck with whatever you were doing.
Yeah. All right, what do you guys think, like, the overall purpose of high school based on your experiences was? Do you think it was, like, social skills or education or just, like, keeping you out of the, just, like, what do you think the purpose of high school was?
The purpose of high school.
The purpose of high school. Ooh.
Wow, trivia question. I feel that everything I learned in high school was due to my experiences that I had with my friends, my parents, my peers, my teachers, et cetera, and I will continue after we take this call. Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Again, I'm sorry to bother you kids, but...
Oh, you're not
the
bothering
whole,
us.
The thing that I see with my own kids and lots of kids that I see, when they graduate, they don't know what's up. They don't, you know, they're lost. And it seems like if you have a child for 4 years and you're just even semi-impassioned as a teacher, there should be some way, like, for instance, that whole social thing you should take as a freshman in college, you should take that the first year in high school because kids don't even know how to act with other kids. And then the whole peer thing, for instance, when I went to high school, man, I was afraid. I was a short kid. I was Hispanic. And I went to an Anglo high school, and I had to join a club just to, you know, stay unbeatable up. You know, I didn't want to get beat up, you know. And then the peer pressure thing was, you know, I don't know why they don't teach the kids, like, how to get along with each other, number one, and how to get along with themselves.
Yeah, exactly.
And just, like, be kind, virtuous. You know what? Let me recommend a book for you kids, and it'll just open the door for you. It's The Ethics for the New Millennium by the Dalai Lama. I mean, it kind of just shows you what life is really about, how to be a really happy person. He says that everybody wants to avoid suffering and be happy. I mean, really, in high school, why don't they teach you kids or us? Why didn't they teach me that? I'm 58 years old, and I'm just like feel like I'm waking up, and it took me... You know, 30 years I raised 4 kids improperly because I didn't even know what parenting was all about. All of a sudden I had twin boys.
Yeah.
And, you know, they don't teach parenting. They don't teach, you know, like, for instance, the whole sexual thing. They teach you kids the mechanics of it, but they don't teach you that, like, for instance, that once you do that thing, you're connected spiritually with this person, and it's like all of a sudden, you know, it's confusing. You know, it's not just an act. There's spiritual ramifications that along with it. I mean, there's a whole lot of stuff they don't teach you kids. I mean, how many times do you need to learn math? And I mean, we all know
how to multiply. 2 + 2 = 4, you know, yeah.
I mean, I know, what kind of a history class? Do we all know that the Native American Indians were just, like, disenfranchised and butchered? I mean, I didn't realize that until, like, 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah, I agree.
They don't teach us history. They don't teach us... I mean, I didn't learn math until I actually was a carpenter. I mean, then I finally realized what plane geometry was all about.
You're making some really good points, and, like, this is what we were discussing before the show and how I've been thinking. Like, I just realized I'm a senior in high school, and they should have been teaching me how to do this stuff a couple years ago, and you kind of realize this stuff, and you're like, well, duh. Maybe
it's
if
scary.
You know? And...
Check it out. Yeah, I've seen a lot of kids. I mean, I've seen all 5 of my kids make the transition, and they didn't know what was up.
Yeah.
And, like, for instance, if I tell you that, you know, you shouldn't even start out on your life until you do a vision quest, like you get alone and you try to, you know, just be open and, like, get out of the status group, you know, status quo groove, which is a really long, deep grave. Be yourself. Find out what that means and learn to live a life, a virtuous, ethical life, because that's the only way we're going to be happy.
Well, thank you for your opinions.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, thanks for having me.
That's great. Okay. I'm just going to open up our phone lines and get back to our what we were discussing earlier. 895-2448 if you're in the Philo Boonville area, and 1-800-499-7117. We'd like to hear from people who have opinions about what they should have learned in high school and et cetera, we've been talking about.
I know a lot of high school teachers, like, well, probably all of them are trying to help prepare people for the real world and are trying to do their best. It's just, it's hard sometimes for kids, like, because we're teenagers and we're going through the whole teen angst period and we're trying to discover ourselves and we're trying to be independent or we're trying to be just like all our friends. But whatever we're doing, like, it doesn't always fit in with what they're trying to teach us. And so sometimes it seems like like there's so much that we need to learn that isn't offered to us because of the eyes that we're looking through. But I know that high school teachers, like, they're trying to do their best, and they're trying to prepare us for things, and they're trying to teach us, like in geometry, like, we did the house project and stuff. So, like, we learned, oh, wait, this is sort of connected to the real world. Mm-hmm. And so, like, high school teachers are trying to do this. It's just really hard to see that when we're high schoolers.
And plus, it's also because we attend such a small school and mm-hmm. we have problems with staffing already. It's really hard for people to take on an extra class, you know?
Yeah.
And we have a caller.
Oh.
Hello, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. I was wondering, are there race issues at Laytonville High School?
I don't see them at all, whatsoever. I don't see any race issues.
I think because our school is mainly white and Native American oriented, we don't have a lot of problems because we all intermingle. And I think that because we're at such a small school, we know everyone, and we know that race issues do exist, but not so much in the high school.
It might also be hard for us to see race issues because we're all basically white.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, like, if... Which, I mean, it isn't showing that Laytonville is so diverse because we have three white females up here doing the radio show representing Laytonville. But, like, there might be race issues that we don't see because we're white, so it's not, like, focused on us.
How many students in total go to Laytonville?
I'd say, including independent study, about 150, if that.
And how many of those are Native American?
15 people, maybe, if that.
15?
No, that are noticeably Native American. There's a lot of Native American
blood in Laytonville.
Yeah, there's
a lot of ones that are half.
But, you know, like, noticeably, like, you totally know that they're Native American.
Yeah, I'd say 15.
Roughly. I mean, we're
just... Are there any Mexicans?
Yeah, there is.
There's a few, yeah.
Yeah, there's a few. And they're really... There's two that came from...
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, out of town. And they've been really accepted. People are really nice to them. They talk to them. They're brought into the group. And
they don't just socialize together.
No. Not at all. I think at Laytonville High School, I see a lot of accepting people, no matter what you look like. I think that we pretty much, we accept, because everyone in here is different, mm-hmm. and we're hanging out, and we all communicate intelligently, and hardly, I think Laytonville is one of the most nonviolent high schools I've seen. Mm-hmm. You know, during school hours, we don't see a lot of fights. I haven't seen any. Mm-hmm.
And also, like, I don't think there's enough students at Laytonville High School for people to be that selective, really.
Yeah.
And people to dislike people based on their color.
Yeah, you don't really have a choice.
And there's not enough people to be friends with. You can't really just, yeah.
How many people are in a typical AP English class?
In my class, I have the smallest of the group, and we have about 10 people.
Yeah, there's about 15.
And were any Native Americans or Mexicans in that class?
Yes, there are.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Just wanted to check it out.
Thanks for your call.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you're trying to call, and we'll give you the numbers again. 895-2448 and 1-800-499-7117. Hello, caller.
Yeah, caller, you're on the air.
Hey, on defense of the teachers, they don't pay teachers anywhere near what they're worth, and... The classes are generally too big, and the conditions that they work in are not near what they deserve. Not near.
Word. I agree
with
you.
Yeah, I can. My mom's a teacher, and, yeah, teachers
they're the heroes. They have to deal, you know, dealing with 10 or more kids is a huge thing, and I don't know what the deal is. I mean, the governor was promising a whole new education package, and they're nickel and diming these poor teachers to death. For instance, the politicians make 150 grand a year. Does a teacher make 40 grand a year? I'd be surprised.
No.
No, I mean, that's scandalous.
Yeah,
it is. But, like, there's two ways to think about it. Like, our teachers...
Well, I'd love to hear another opinion about that one.
Go for it. Go, Rose.
No, teachers, they are really underpaid, and, like, what really... The way teachers should be paid, I think, is merit-based pay. Like, the better of a teacher you are, the more you get paid. Because if there was, like, a starting salary that was really high, you'd get people who were trying to teach just for the money. And that's not good either. But if it was based on the, like, your teaching ability and the way your students learned in your classroom, then it would, we definitely need to...
Hey, you know what? I totally agree with you on that, but the starting pay is way too low. I mean... A young kid, I mean, is going to look at a teaching thing. Yes, we want impassioned teachers that love to teach kids, but they should be rewarded for their passion. I mean, and the thing is way out of scale. It's like, it's too low. I mean, teachers are working poor. They're the working poor. They're teaching our children. They ought to be like royalty or esteemed mentors, teachers, beloved, you know, high up there, but they're just, you know, working from Friday to Friday.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Not many teachers, the young beginning teachers, really know what they're doing yet, so it takes them kind of a year or so to actually get into the groove, so that's why they're not paid quite so much as
well,
the other ones.
Well, they're also, like, it's really hard to move up on the pay scale when you're a teacher because you need money to take college classes to move up to the next rank, and you don't really have the money, and if you're trying to, like, raise kids, I don't know, like, teachers, you often find teachers who are single parent mothers on welfare, and they're teaching and they're working for the government, but they're not getting paid enough. And I totally understand. Like, I come from a family where a parent's a teacher, and it's like they really don't get paid enough, and the starting salaries are just atrocious. And it's like it's starting to move up, and people are finally starting to realize the importance of teachers and how, like, they're more important than anybody else because they teach everybody else and they shape everybody else's future. But it's like it's just like a slow movement.
Yeah, they
and
should.
It's really sad that way.
Yeah, I agree with you. And they should be like as stress free as possible. Make life easy for them because the teachers are going to change the world. That's what's going to change the world is people learning the right stuff.
Definitely.
Okay, you guys. Great.
Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Right. Yeah. All right, we've got another caller too. Or if they're still yeah. Okay.
Hi, caller. Whoa, caller.
Caller.
Hello.
Caller.
Ooh,
no. Oh, okay, never mind. No.
If you were trying to call, please give us the call back. Our numbers once again are 895-2448, and Rose here is going to give you the 1-800 number.
1-800-499-7117. Lots of double digits in that. All right, so, okay, I was talking about like merit-based pay for teachers, but I was asked how would teachers be evaluated, like test scores or how? Because I think test scores...
No way.
If you have one test, it reflects how well that student takes that test.
Exactly. Because I've always been known as a pretty fair student, and I cannot take tests at all well. I mean, like, if I'm asked to take a test with just the knowledge, you know, this and that, I mean, I can somehow, like, I can do some of it, and then all of a sudden, it's gone. It just totally escapes my mind, and then it'll come back to me after the test. It's like this weird thing, and I don't think you can judge a teacher by how well a student does on its test scores.
Yeah, I think it's, like, student improvement.
Exactly.
Like, the student coming in and the student coming out and how the students feel about the teachers, and we have a call.
Yay, caller.
Caller, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. I kind of came in late to the program, so I'm not sure what you've talked about, but I know that Laytonville's, it's a pretty it's a small school, and I'm just wondering, two things. Where do most of the kids go? I mean, do they take off or do they go to college? Or what happens to people, and the other question is there some kind of vocational sort of leaning up there or, community effort kind of education or...
Okay.
So I'll get off and listen on the air.
Thanks. I can answer your number one question. Actually, we've been told that Laytonville High School has one of the highest acceptance rates in the United States because we're such a small school. I mean, we have people going, we've had people accepted into Georgetown, Pepperdine, UC Berkeley, USC.
Stanford.
Like, my friend just got into USC, and she was one of the 1 out of 200 kids who were actually chosen into USC this year, and she's from Laytonville High School. I mean, who would have known, right?
Yeah, like, I think a couple of years ago, a study was done, and Laytonville had an equivalent percentage of students being accepted to Stanford of any other public school in the country, because we're so small.
Mm-hmm.
Like, students accepted to Stanford, and it was equal to the highest percentage of any other school. And I think that's amazing. And we have students who are accepted to these great schools, like, on the East Coast, like... really prestigious schools, and we have students who, like, they end up going to local colleges, which are great, too. Like, Humboldt State University is an excellent college if you want to be a forester. It has an excellent teaching program.
Mm-hmm.
And we have students who are going to Mendocino College who are getting, like, an excellent education because they're willing to put in the effort.
Mm-hmm.
We have people who want to stay local because they love the area.
Exactly.
And then people who want to, like, get out because they want to experience the world. And... it's just like how you look at it.
Mm-hmm.
And don't we have an ROP program?
Yeah, we do. We have it through art, and we actually have a horticulture ROP class. And I think there's one other one I'm not thinking of right now.
Mm-hmm.
Arela?
I think that I've noticed that a lot of people in the community leave when they graduate high school and go to college when they come back.
Exactly.
And bring their skills back with what they've learned and what they have. And I just can't think of many people who have actually stayed in Laytonville and really not gone to school, not even gone to Mendocino. Most people that stay in Laytonville at least go to Mendocino College.
Mm-hmm. Well, we do have, like, some people who do that. Like, we have, like, the Laytonville Legends.
Oh, God.
Who, like, there are people, they just sort of fade into the background. They're the people that we sort of sweep under the rug that we don't want to talk about because we don't think that they've made something out of their lives. And, you know, some of them haven't. Mm-hmm. Some of them just stay in Laytonville and they fall into the wrong scene. And, you know, some of them, like, there's people who go to college and, you know, they can't swing with it, so they come back to Laytonville and or there's people like Brian Bowles went off to college and got a teaching credential, and now he's teaching at the Laytonville Middle School.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that's totally, like, that's wonderful.
Yeah, it's something that I've been looking at. You know, I always thought, I'm from Los Angeles originally, and I came to Laytonville, and I was like, well, where did my parents plunk me down into? I was kind of like, oh, wow, this place is really small. And then living here, it's, seriously, it's been one of the best places to grow up in, and I think, I definitely, you know, I'm going to go to college and, you know, be away for a little while, but then I definitely want to settle back into Laytonville or a town just like Laytonville because, I mean, just coming from a big city and just being accepted, like, almost right off the bat, and I think a lot of people find it that way coming into Laytonville also.
Yeah, I want to come back and teach at Laytonville High School. Yeah, me too. Just because, like, I love Laytonville High School so much. I think it is the greatest environment. I still think, like, any high school that you can wear pajamas to school at and have nobody care. Like, that, I think that to me is what summarizes Laytonville High School. Just, like, the total mindset that people have where it's okay to come to school and maybe you're not wearing Nike or you're not wearing Calvin Klein, and that's totally fine. And, like, that's the environment that I want to live in, and that's the environment that I want to help people, like, foster. And so I've always, like, wanted to teach at a small school, and I finally figured out once I went away to school that, like, Laytonville, talking to other people who went to other high schools, Laytonville is just, like, these kind of small schools in a rural area where people have to choose to go, like, live here and put their children in the school, mm-hmm. it just creates, like, such an interesting and cool environment that I want to be part of that, and I want to come back and help people discover, like, how fascinating it really is.
Many people I talk to from different schools and stuff, like the Ukiah and Willits area, they always say they don't believe it when I tell them there's no cliques. There is small cliques, but it's mostly just groups of friends hanging out, but it's not about popularity
or about fashion. We don't have any posers.
Yeah, it's not about pretending to be someone popular or famous. It's all about just people hanging out, and then the crowds mingle, too. We all hang out
totally.
In the same spots, and you run into people you know in just the oddest places. And
yeah. I mean, like, just in, like, the group that I, you know, I consider my group, I mean, we don't have, like, we have, like, kind of one of everyone in my group. It's kind of like we have, you know, we have, like, I'm mainly hang out with the freshmen, and, I mean, they're, like, we have a couple seniors. We have a couple people who live here and dress like this. It's, like, you just can't go to Laytonville and not hang out with people who aren't like you and people who are like you in the same group, you know?
Yeah, like, one of my friends at college, he went to high school in Compton.
Wow.
Compton. And, like, he'd go to school, and he'd be afraid of getting shot or stabbed. And that doesn't happen in Laytonville. Like, unless you really pissed somebody off on a level that's just beyond compare. Like, we don't have gang violence. And, like, we're small enough where I think we'd notice a Columbine before it really happened. And there's, like, some of my friends, they went to schools where they didn't know their teachers' first names ever. And they,
some of us live next to our teachers, or, you know,
yeah.
Like Rose, like, your mom's a teacher. And
yeah. And it's like they went to schools where they didn't really have a relationship with people that they went to high school with unless they knew them in some other aspect.
Mm-hmm.
It's like we're so special because we go to such a high school. Like, it's just, I think it's not only the size, but it's just the people who want to live in this sort of area.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people who choose to live in Laytonville or Willits, who choose to separate themselves from the huge cities, like, they have to have a certain mind frame to choose this life. And so they raise their kids with a certain mind frame. And I think that's what fosters such an environment that opens itself up to such diversity and such open-mindedness.
Yeah, I think that's what we should continue to encourage that with the teachers and stuff. And it makes it for an easier basis to get along with and stuff. And
once again, I just want to reintroduce ourselves. My name is Jamie Shields.
I'm Rose Talbert.
And I'm Arayla Simerson.
And we're discussing revisioning high school, part two. If you aren't from Laytonville High School, or if you want to have something to say, we totally would appreciate your calls. We have roughly 7 minutes left in our show, and we want to hear from you.
Mm-hmm.
If you live in the Philo Boonville area, you can call us at 895-2448 or 1-800-499-7117.
So now that I'm a senior, I'm looking back and going, wow, there's a lot of things that I wish could have been fixed. And one of the things I would wish I would have known was how to stand up to teachers and peers and how to deal with them when they accuse me of something that's wrong or without acting out angry. And I think that a lot of students have that problem. They don't know how to deal with, like, a student will step in class and scream something inappropriate and stomp out, and then there's this big old huge ordeal. I think a lot of that can be avoided, and like the peer counseling, how we were talking about earlier.
I think that a lot of people don't know how to handle themselves around their older elders. Even people, like, if you have classes with younger people, they don't really know how to act around you because they're not quite at the maturity level you're at. And some people in my class aren't even at the maturity level that I'm at. And just, you have to have respect for some of your teachers. I mean, even if you may not agree with what they're saying, you just kind of nod your head, okay, you know, put your 2 cents in, but don't make it a huge ordeal because, I mean, I hate that when people make this big thing out of it and, like, sit there and yell at the teacher or cuss at them. I mean, that's not getting anything accomplished. That's just showing that you're the lesser person.
Yeah, like teachers are people, too, and, like, they have their opinions, and they're not, like, this authority figure that's trying to shove this information down your throat and thinks you're this petty little peon. Like, they're people, and you're people. And, like, I wish I'd figured that out. Like, I figured that out kind of early on, but probably not soon enough. Like, I don't know. My teachers, like, Laytonville High School teachers in general are just, like, they're really cool people. Because they're people. They're not teachers. They're not, like, oh, they're not the man, you know. they're just these people. And they're trying to give us information that we could be receptive to. We could not be receptive to. But if you get in an argument with your teacher, it's not like, you know, oh, it's us against them. You know, you're fighting authority. It's just, it's another person, and they're just trying to help you. Like, that's what they're there for. They're not stuck in this crappy little job with like, minimal pay because they want to torture people. Like, they want to help people, and so, like, I just wish I'd kind of figured that out sooner.
Yeah, I think that high school is a lot about growing up, and part of growing up is becoming mature, and that's one of the lot of biggest issues that students deal with is trying to, you know, be mature and or show that they're mature when they're not, you know. And so it's about trying to prove something or trying to feel like you're better and that you can be manly and strong and big. And
because if you're going to show that kind of persona, you know, like, oh, I'm a big manly person, you know, look at my huge inflated ego. It's, you know what, you're not going to like that person a lot. And I personally don't have respect for people who treat me like that. You know, like, people in my class, they tend to, like, they act arrogant towards you, and that's no way to treat someone and, like, act like that to teachers. It's like, I'll be sitting there, and some people, like, who are senior boys will be sitting there, and they'll just be talking, like, the whole entire class, and the teacher will have to repeatedly tell them, please be quiet, you guys are being disruptive, and other people will speak up and be like, yeah, you guys were trying to learn here. They won't shut up. It's like, okay, you guys, we're 18 years old. We're in high school. Can we please stop acting like we're three?
I know. It's not like they're proving that they're cooler. Exactly. Or, like, they're better than their teacher because they're going to sit that back there and talk. They're just, I don't know, they're just kind of proving how immature they really are.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people feel forced into high school, and that's why they do that. It's because they feel like they're forced to sit down in this class and forced to listen to the teacher. And so for them, it's like, well, I don't want to be here, so I don't want to make it pleasurable and might as well be
make it miserable for everyone else, you know?
Yeah. Either that or just do something to entertain myself, and if that's what they find entertaining, then I think that that's why games would be good in classrooms to, like, you know, increase entertainment, like hands-on, maybe puzzles, maybe like movies sometimes I feel are really good because it shows the real life and how people really live.
And you can visualize stuff. What about, I'd like to kind of go off real quick on how you would design your perfect class. I, for one, would start off, I think I just have everyone kind of sit down for a couple minutes and talk about, like, hey, what did you do this weekend, you know, and have my students be honest with me. You know, I want to hear what they did. I don't want to hear some BS story that they made up on the way to school or something like that.
I can hear about their life.
Yeah, exactly. And because you're interacting with people, I think it really helps to become real with that person, like with the teacher. Because when I want to be a teacher and I want to be real with my students, I don't want to sit there and put on this, hi, I'm your teacher hat, you know, and then once I take it off, you can't talk to me, that kind of thing. Yeah. And then I'd like, peer counseling, we play a lot of warm-up games, and I'd, you know, just do something fun, play a fun game for a couple minutes, and then get down and just, you know, talk about whatever we're talking about, the subject, and teach them something hands-on. Though I think that I'm a big hands-on learner, and it has to be hands-on for me to be learning. Like, I have to you know, touch something to understand it, or, you know, watch a movie about it so I can visualize that era. I think it really helps me.
Yeah, like movies aren't always real life, though. Like we were saying, you know, like movies that shows us like how people really lived in real life. And there's a lot of like brushing over and making it better going on in the movies. Like when Disney gets its hands on something, it's all just out the window. And like a lot of times there are movies that just sort of like they emphasize what helps the plot and that's it. So like maybe movies that were meant to be educational and fun, but like movies all the time too, I guess. Like, you don't really get to see movies in college at all, ever, which is kind of depressing.
Sad.
But
don't tell me this.
No movies in college. But, so, I don't know. Like, because for some people, high school is a big preparation for college, and it's already going to be a shock to go to school anyways. They might as well, like, have some sort of, like, they might as well be prepared on some levels. And if they know, like, you're not going to get a lot of movies when you learn, then... They won't be like, oh my God, no.
Yeah, Jema asked a little while ago what your ideal high school would be like. And I think that to start off, I would deal with the structure, the way that the classes are set up, like the classrooms. I feel intimidated a lot of the time when a teacher has this big desk huge in front of me and they're sitting up in these big tall chairs. And then you're sitting in these little tables kind of cowering down. They're all bare and you know, there's nothing. You don't even have a stapler on your table. And it kind of feels a little like...
Whoa!
Yeah. I can imagine, like, I remember when I was a freshman, it was very frightening. I was a very little person. So walking in and seeing, like, this big room, like, all these scary things, it was quite a scary experience. And so I think I would make it where the tables were on the side for when you're ready to write down and work. But during when the teacher's talking or lecturing, then they're at the same level with you, same chair level, nothing in the way to distort your view of the other person. We have a caller.
And we have no time.
Oh, sorry,
we are
sorry,
out
caller.
Of time. Sorry, caller.
Should
Thanks
have called
for calling.
Earlier.
Yeah, should have called earlier.
So we're going to sign off, and that's all for this month's edition of What You Don't Know, Youth Speaks Out. Your hosts tonight have been Arayla Simerson,
Jema Bonton,
and Bato Rose.
Thanks to our callers. One of the purposes of this show is to involve the community in dialogue, so call-ins are what makes this show happen. We really encourage listeners to give us feedback on our shows. You can do it through email at the website, www.kzyx.org/youthspeaksout, or by writing to us at KZYX, P.O. Box 1, Philo, California, 95446. Our next show will be on the last Sunday of June. That's the June 25th at 6 p.m. Thanks for listening and good night.